name and His power, His mercy, His compassion, all that He is and more. We are here today in Your presence, ready to take the Word of God and open it up and read it and ask the Holy Spirit to give us spiritual understanding of Your spiritual Word, that we may function in a spiritual way that is pleasing unto You and Your spiritual kingdom. Thank You for loving us. Thank You for being who You are. Thank You for being in charge, in control, even when things seem a mess and seem so ugly down here. You're King. They'll never change. Lord of Lords, never change. And we thank You for what You give us as Your children. Holy boldness. A holy endurance. An everlasting love that can be shared among the brethren. Eternal life in Jesus Christ. Enabling us to go when others quit. To stand up in the faith. To stand our ground where You have positioned us. Father, give us the understanding we need, I pray. It's a little deep in places, but thank You for giving it. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I want you to take your printout as we begin. Underline the word endurance. In fact, the word endurance is your title for this morning's message. But there's more to this word than you and I see. Endurance. I'd like for you to write this down, if you will. Biblical, spiritual, godly endurance is learning, and this learning comes from the Word of God, learning to face what is beyond human logic and human aid. It is learning from the Word of God to face what is beyond human logic and human aid. 2 Corinthians, turn there if you will. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 8 through 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 8 through 11. Won't you listen very closely as we read? I'm going to be reading out of the Amplified Study Bible. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8. For we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters in Christ, about our trouble in the west coast province of Asia Minor, how we were utterly weighed down beyond our strength, so that we despaired even of life itself. Indeed, verse 9, we felt within ourselves that we had received the sentence of death, and were convinced that we would die. But this happened so that we would not trust in ourselves. You might want to write the two words, divine appointment. He says this happened. If you read it, you'll know it was by divine appointment. So that we would not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. He rescued us from so great a threat of death and will continue to rescue us. On Him we have set our hope, our blessed assurance. And He will again rescue us from danger and draw us near. Verse 11. While you join in helping us by your prayers, then thanks will be given by many persons on our behalf for the gracious gift of deliverance granted to us through very important here, the prayers of many believers. I have three pages that you don't have. I thought I was through, Joey. And God said, not yet, Terry. Please listen to the talking points. Very informative. Paul, in his hardships, you might want to write down the word hardships. Paul, in his hardships, which God was fully aware of and had already provided for, Paul, in his hardships that God was fully aware of and has already provided for, received supernatural comfort. So that tells me there are times when human comfort is not enough. There are times in the life of a Christian when you need something that human beings can't give you. Even a brother and sister in Christ cannot give you. You will find yourselves in hardships from time to time that only God can help you. So Paul, in his hardships, received supernatural comfort because human comfort was not enough. He also received supernatural empowering. There are times when human power is not enough to get you through a hardship. There are times when human empowering is not enough to move what should be moved in your life. Paul, in his hardships, another note, that God allowed to come into his life so that Paul may continue to what? Learn how to endure by depending upon the supernatural comfort and the supernatural empowering of the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. What he needed was beyond human aid and beyond human logic. Secondly, don't hesitate to share information concerning your trials. There are some people in church and they'll never tell you what they're going through. They're going through some tremendous hardships and adversity and some trials. And they keep it to themselves. I want you to listen what the Scripture has to say. Paul was thankful for the many prayers that were being prayed. I was just thinking a while ago, while Jessica was doing such a wonderful job singing that song, when you come to a door by yourself, you knock. You ever heard someone say on the inside of the house, I would have come to the door, but I couldn't hear you knocking. Just imagine, Joey, if there were 100 knocking at the same time, it's a knocking that could not be ignored by the person on the inside of the house. So what is Paul saying here? Whenever my brothers and sisters have hardships, have adversity, and have trials, I want more than one person praying for me. Give me 50 people praying for me. Give me 100 people praying for me. Give me 200 people praying for me. How many do you want praying for you in a hardship, in a trial, in an adversity, something that is knocking your feet out from under you? How many people do you want praying for you? I want more than one. I want all I can get. And keep knocking on heaven's door. My friends, it's all about prayer. God says, pray. I hear my children pray. God inhabits the praise and the prayers of his people. So what is Paul saying here? Paul is saying, thank you for all the prayers that were prayed to deliver us and set us free. It makes a difference. Don't hesitate to share information concerning your trials. You see, when you have something that needs to be prayed for, and more than one person needs to pray, and you want to walk the aisle and come down at the invitation, I have heard it time and time again, Jeff. I need praying for. And then if I know what's going on, I'll say, yes. But we also need the prayers of a lot of people to be praying for you. And that's when I will turn to you and say, would you please come, if you wish, and gather around this brother or sister in Christ and begin praying for them. The last time we did this, not long ago, I've heard many people say, when those hands went upon my shoulders, I felt electricity. I felt that movement of God moving through me. So you see what God wants done? You see what the Apostle Paul is saying? He said we need a movement of God when we pray. And it's okay. More than one person can come up here. Let the whole church stand up and come up here. And let the power of God be released. I know it's Baptist, but you know, I can talk like Assembly of God. Here we go. It says, don't hesitate to share information concerning your trials. You know what, Dwayne? If you hurt, let us know. If you need prayer, let us know. He said, I've already had some answers to prayers already that have come through the messages and other different ways. Is that correct? Thank you, Dwayne. Don't hesitate to share information concerning your trials. Because sometimes your trials, your hardships, your adversity can seem overwhelming. I've had many Christians say, there's something happening in my life and I just can't handle it. It's so overwhelming, I don't know what to do with it. And you know, Terry, I've even thought about committing suicide. My friends, do you see why we need to study the Word of the Living God? There may be something knocking you off your feet. There may be something way beyond human logic that's taking place in your life, and therefore you can't figure it out. But there is nothing that goes beyond the living God of the Bible, nor Jesus Christ, nor the Holy Spirit. Nothing goes beyond Him. Nothing knocks Him off His feet. He is God. He's all-powerful. He's all-knowing. He's everywhere present. And He's all-sufficient. Flood your mind with the Word of the Living God. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. There must be a renewing of the mind. Your thinking must be changed. And thinking that is to be changed comes about by the Holy Spirit working with the Word of the Living God. My friends, if you and I are going to overcome things that we think are overwhelming, we're going to have to learn how to study the Bible, the Word of the Living God, and be consistent in what we're going to do with it, and that we're going to live by it as we study it. Don't hesitate to share information concerning your trials, because sometimes your trials, your hardships, your adversity can seem overwhelming and unique in character. Oh, over the years, Jeff, I've heard many say, well, nobody's going through what I'm going through. Don't you fall prey to that. Don't believe that when the devil sits on your shoulder and begins to whisper in your ear. He's saying, you're going through something that nobody else has ever gone through. Let me tell you something. Whatever you go through, I promise you, somebody has already gone through it. And therefore, Paul is saying to those that have already gone through it, don't just walk, but run to your brother and sister in Christ and say, I want to pray with you because I have been where you are right now and I know what you're going through. And by the grace and the power of God, we're going to push through this. We are going to endure. It can seem overwhelming and unique in character. You may feel forced to renounce all hope of survival. I think I'd be better off dead. Well, let me tell you something. If you're thinking that as an unbeliever, then you're going to usher yourself into Sheol before the time. Is that correct? Here's another. There will be times when you feel you have received an answer or verdict from God that was death. Let me simplify for you. You know Ben Hines? He feels like there's been a verdict of death issued. I sat over there the other day, this close. We talked. He said, I'm dying. If the medication works, doctor said, maybe live a year. If it doesn't work and my body rejects it, 2 to 3 months. He said, Terry, I don't see any way out. And it doesn't look like there's a way out. I'm not saying that God can't heal him. But I think there are times you just know God's fixing to call you home. I also believe if you're a child of God, you're not going to die 1 minute early or 1 minute late. You're in the hands of Jesus Christ. So I'm going to ask you, for Ben, pray for him. Pray that God will help him in what he's going through at this very moment. He's missed. I can still hear his laughter in this church. He's very much a people person. And now he doesn't have the strength to last more than half a day. While I'm saying this, I want to thank the guys that went over there and built the ramp. God bless you for that. Here's something else to think about. We must understand that only divine intervention enables us to retreat from death to the realm of the living. All of this undermines Paul's dependence on his own resources. Yet it compels him to have a full-fledged dependence on the living God who raises the dead and therefore can rescue the dying from the grip of death. There is no need to fear dying. If it is not time for you to die, Paul is saying, then God can rescue you from death itself. Point one. For the believer, self-reliance is not only an inadequate resource for a life that is to be pleasing to the Lord, it is also an affront to God, on whom we are totally dependent for our physical life and spiritual well-being. Point two. We must abandon self-reliance. We must abandon self-reliance and trust God's supernatural power. Number three. Here Paul was confronted with the nature and consequences of the believer's physical death. Death is the destruction of a tent dwelling. That's what your body is, a tent. And a departure from mortal embodiment. Death leads to the possession of a building from God, dwelling in the presence of the Lord and appearing before Christ's tribunal. Verse 11. Paul credited the power of corporate prayer for their deliverance. There wasn't just one praying. There were many, many praying for them. Though God certainly honors personal prayer, he reveals his presence in a special way when two or three are gathered together. Maybe your joy or love or marriage seems dead. Quit trying to figure it out and fight it in your own energy. Instead, seek the Lord. Trust the God who specializes in raising the dead. And the last point. In the spiritual realm, human weakness accompanied with faith releases the power of God. In the spiritual realm, human weakness accompanied with faith releases the power of Almighty God. Take your printout. Second Corinthians 1:8 and 9, very quickly again. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead. I underline that phrase, the last sentence. We should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead. Look at the word trouble. It is thlipsis. Thlipsis. This word trouble conveys the ideal of a heavy pressure situation. A person who is in a tight place, under a heavy burden, and in a great squeeze. A person who has come to the end of his or her self. Paul was essentially saying, we were under an unbelievable heavy amount of stress and pressure. We were beneath a heavy load and trapped in very tight circumstances. Our minds were being squeezed and it felt like the life was being pushed right out of us. Please write this note. Paul would say this forced us to throw ourselves totally on God's help, God's compassion, and God's power. I'll reread that one. This forced us, Paul says, to throw ourselves totally on God's supernatural help, on God's supernatural compassion. And the word compassion means to give aid or support. And that aid or support is supernatural. Again, God's moving Paul beyond human logic and human aid to totally depend upon what God can give. Now, question number one. In this verse, was Paul referring to physical suffering or mental suffering? The answer is mental suffering. Where does this greatest suffering always occur? In the mind. That's why Romans chapter 12, verse 2 is so important. When suffering begins to work on the mind, the body will break and fold. Notice the phrase, pressed out of measure. This phrase means to throw something beyond the normal range that most experience. Paul was saying, we were under an abnormal amount of pressure. It was far beyond anything we had ever previously experienced. It was excessive, unbelievable, unbearable, far too much for any one human being to endure. This is as though Paul was saying normal human strength would never have been sufficient for this situation. This predicament required strength on a measure that I had never previously needed. It was beyond me, but never beyond God. Page 2. The word despaired, total unavailability of an exit from oppressive or difficult circumstances. This is what those who commit suicide come to. What is suicide? Permanent solution to a temporary problem. Permanent solution to a temporary problem. What's worth taking your own life when you have the living God who can solve all your problems? This word refers to individuals who were caught, pinned down, trapped, up against the wall and utterly helpless and hopeless. In today's language, this would say, well, sorry, but it looks like this is the end of the road for you. Then look at that phrase, sentence of death in ourselves. Paul is saying it looks like the verdict was in and we were not going to survive. Ben would say, there's me. I'm there. I've been given the verdict. And the verdict is maybe 2 months, maybe a year before death comes for you. Paul here describes a mental agony on a measure few of us will ever know. We would not, brethren, have you ignorant of the horribly tight, life-threatening squeeze that came to us in Asia. It was unbelievable. With all the things we've been through, this was the worst of all. It felt like our lives were being crushed. It was so difficult, I didn't know what to do. No experience I've ever been through required so much of me. And now you know that me usually is not enough. Because me has a stopping point. Me knows there's a wall in my life that me just can't go through. There's a wall that says no to human logic. This is where human logic stops, here at the wall. And anything beyond human logic just drives a person crazy because they can't grasp it and they can't put their hands on it. They can't even come to an understanding of it because it is beyond their normal thinking. Human logic has a stopping place. And Christianity goes way beyond where human logic stops. In fact, I didn't have enough strength to cope with it. I didn't think we'd ever get out. I felt suffocated, trapped, and pinned against the wall. I thought it was the end of the road for us. 2 Corinthians. I'll show it to you. 2 Corinthians. Now, if you have this Amplified Study Bible, go up here where it says author. Because there's an answer that you're fixing to look at and write down. Please listen. It says, external and internal evidence amply support the Pauline authorship of this letter. Okay. There is an interval of about a year between these two letters to the Corinthians. Now listen closely. Since Paul's first letter, the Corinthian church had been swayed by false teachers who stirred the people against who? Paul. Now remember what we've been reading about Paul? Now here's what happened. And this is why we read what we read. They claimed he was fickle, arrogant, unimpressive, in appearance and speech, and unqualified to be an apostle of Jesus Christ. You see, if I'm not mistaken, didn't Paul on the road to Damascus have a little conversation with Jesus Christ? And if he could talk with Jesus, how could he be unqualified? Human logic, boy, it's great, isn't it? To be an apostle of Jesus Christ. During this time, Paul has paid them what must have been an unpleasant visit and then wrote them another letter which we do not have. It's going to surprise you. Question. We're on page 2. Question number 1. What happened to cause so much mental stress in Paul's life? Here's the answer. His friends. You're looking for something a little more? Did we just not read the answer right here? His friends turned on him. So the answer is, his friends forsook him. He faced death every day. Now you know why he was writing this. I feel like the verdict, the sentence is what? Death. Because I face death every day. But what did he do? He learned how to endure. He learned how to go beyond human logic and human aid and to depend upon the power that can raise the dead. Paul says, I'm only going to die if God wants me to die. If not, he will deliver me by his supernatural power from the grasp of death and set me on the living ground. Amen. With all Paul, listen to this. With all Paul's knowledge, revelation, and experience, he almost broke down mentally. Terry, are you kidding me? I thought Paul was on the pinnacle of faith and spiritual success. I rated him way up here. But I want you to listen. Paul says, I was way down here. And it nearly broke me and my ministry. I had knowledge. I had revelation. I had experience. And everybody would have voted 100% that the Apostle Paul was going to be successful and he was going to succeed. Nothing can stop him. Nothing can take him down. And listen, he even heard the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus, and still he like to got busted. Don't you think you can get saved and not buy a Bible and stay out of the house of God and you're going to make it? Brother, you can be saved and hold the Bible in your hand and lay it on a hutch at home and never get beyond human logic and human aid because you refuse to read it and live by it. If I didn't have the answer in the introduction, I'd have never thought he was talking about his friends yet. His friends forsook him. He faced death every day. With all Paul's knowledge, revelation, and experience, he still almost broke down mentally. Here's the last paragraph. Always remember, God's delivering power is yours. Never forget it. And let me tell you something. When you come to that wall, that door in your life, don't knock on it by yourself. Don't keep all that information on the inside of you that you need to share with your brothers and sisters in Christ. Brother, just let it out and share it, okay? Sometimes you can't, I understand that, but the majority of the time you can. And instead of one knocking on the door, let's get 100, 150, 200 knocking on the door. And say, I'm coming in by the power of God that raises the dead. I'm walking through this door. He will rescue you now, and he will rescue you again and again in the future. All he asks is that you stay there at where? Where he assigned you to be. Let me tell you something. When you walk the aisle to join, it's not just walking the aisle and get membership. You're walking the aisle because God said to you, this is your new assigned post. Take care of it. He will rescue you again and again in the future. All he asks is that you stay there at your post that he assigned you to. Refuse to give in to pressure. Refuse to let the devil win and enforce the victory Jesus won for you. Let me tell you something. I'm not fighting for victory. I'm fighting from victory. The victory has already been won. There you go. You got it. If you remain faithful to your task, God will remain faithful to you as well. Most gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for the Word of God. that has all the answers we need. Thank you for letting us know human logic is good to a certain point, but it has a stopping point also. So does human aid. There are sometimes the doctor can't do anything, medication can't do anything. That's why the believer comes to the house of God. You know why? This is family. This is not an organization. This is a family. You're loved here. You're prayed for here. This is where help comes that nobody else can give you. This is the house of God. God's in charge. And Brother God has already blessed you in Jesus Christ. So get it. Pray, God, give it to me. I'm stalling right here. I need a lot of knocking on this door. He said, grant it. But sometimes you may knock for months or you may knock for years. Why does God let me keep on knocking sometime? Because He's teaching you endurance. Because the whole time you're knocking, you're thinking about your situation, and you're thinking about your relationship with God, and usually you walk away a lot of times from that door and say, you know, God just wanted me to have an intimate relationship with Him. That's why He let me knock so long. And what was bugging me ain't no problem anymore. We love you, Lord. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen.